Hello. So I'll speak English. So I just felt the words like trust in the Lord, and specifically trust in His timing. I kept seeing this picture of the dove coming with the olive branch, and I just felt like, just as Noah had to like go against the grain and like that, just that ultimate surrender, being obedient, facing the storm, like so just laying down and building, like you said, like what God wants you to build, and the faith, that step of faith that he had to take going into the ark, and then like whatever it means for you, like facing the storm, and specifically just trust for God's timing for that dove to come with the hope and the life. I hope it makes sense.
Very good. Awesome. Thanks, Marley. I'll come back to a word now, but just firstly wanted to say good morning. Like you've heard, my name is Barent. I am married to Leanne, my wife there. Don't you want to just quickly stand up, babe? Sorry, she's there. We go. That's my wife, Leanne. And I've got three children, Anna, Katie, and Jackson. And it's just been incredible to see what God has been doing in our lives, but also in the life of Melkbos. We've been part of Melkbos congregations from that it started, which has been 18 years. So Melkbos has been going for 18 years. I've been part of Josh J now for about 23 years. So been here since early days. All those preachers that you hear about breaking little bricks and mortar off bricks as we were building the Sunningdale congregation, that was us. We worked like one night, I remember working, I don't know why I'm saying this, but maybe it's important. One night we were working 24 hours to get the place ready for our first opening meeting that we had. And been part of Josh Tin for years, and it's an absolute privilege and an honor for us to be here this morning. Just as Melkbos, and we want to say thank you, man. I know you, Andre's he's on a work trip, but he's not working. You're right. That's what I'm trying. You can sense my is he on vacation or is he? But absolutely love you, Andre, and Anita. Just what they've been doing and taking over here from what Conrad has started, and it's incredible, man. It's incredible, like people laying down their lives for the King and His kingdom. And and it's not by chance that you are here. I often say that in Melkbos, but just being here today, and even for us as Melkbos being here today, it's not by chance. You know, I don't think we often understand the way that God builds His kingdom. Even what Wally was saying is like, Jesus can build your house, can build your church. And you know what God uses to build His church? Do you know? You and me. It's us. How incredible is that? Like, we are absolute nothing. We are dust. We are nothing. And He goes, I will put myself in them, and I will use them to build my church. And it's incredible. And so quickly just point your finger to yourself. God wants to use you, man. You are part of His kingdom. You are part of what God is busy doing on this face of the earth. You might be sitting here in Malmesbury. We might be sitting in Melkbos. There might be people in Mossel Bay or wherever. But you know what? God has chosen you for a time like this to build His kingdom in a place where he put you. In Acts 17, one of my favorite scriptures, the Lord says, God determines the time and place for each person to live. And it's incredible. He's chosen you for a time as this to live here in Malmesbury. Like, God ordained that. We think we make our plans and we do our things, and I'm going to talk about a little bit around that now. But God chose you this morning, right now. What is it? What day is today? The 12th. Yes, I'm already at the 23rd. I'm like, no, I'm joking. But the 12th. Of October, September. Yes, where are we? Okay, it's been a crazy year, like you can see. There's a scripture that says, the Spirit of the Lord is like wind. You don't know where it's coming or going. That's how I'm feeling. No, I'm just joking. But it is. We are here already, and it's today, this year, God is here. And each person here, something of a deposit that I feel God wants to put in us today, whether you live in Malmesbury or whether you're from Melkbos, God this morning wants to do something in the Spirit. And even as we worshiped, I felt that it's not just a word or something that we're bringing today if we hear. I really felt it's something that the Lord wants to do in the spiritual realm here in Malmesbury. And it's not because we are anything cool or, honestly, if you guys know me, those that do know me, they know that I've been disciplined out of church. I've had a crazy life, and it's not, I'm nothing special. But somehow the Lord uses us when we step out in faith and when we follow the Holy Spirit, that He even changes the atmosphere in towns and in cities. And that's the thing that we want. And it's not just a moment. I think it's an ongoing thing that God does. So this morning, I really want to, that what Madly shared, just the trust in God's timing. So no matter what you're going through, you might be sitting here going, what am I doing here? Why am I here? Maybe you are like, I know why I'm here. But still, trust in God's processes and in His timing as we go. That was totally not on my notes, but I think it was for someone. So, but it's an incredible opportunity just to be here this morning. I'm really just carrying something, and I don't even know that Jess knew that I was preaching on living water this morning. That is the preach that the Lord laid on my heart. But before I go there, I want to ask Steph to just come and share something that he felt or while he was just praying for today, and just something that I want to actually pick up on from what he's studied. Study is a big word, but research, that's a better word, yeah. And probably if you're living in Malmesbury, you know this, but I actually want to use this as to build off something that I feel the Lord wants to do in us this morning. Okay.
Dankie, Barend. So ek het dit voorberei in Afrikaans, so ek jammer as jy Engels is. Maar ja, toe Barend sê, hulle gaan Malmesbury toe kom, toe ons het baie opgewonde, ek en my vrou, toe sê ons kom saam. So is baie lekker om by julle te wees. En toe bid ons 'n bietjie net vir julle en net te hoor wat is op die Here se hart vir julle in Malmesbury. En ek weet niks van Malmesbury eintlik af nie, ek sal 'n paar keer die deur gery. So natuurlik, eerste ding as jy nie weet nie, jy klim op Google en jy gaan soek. Een stapje terug, ek het eers gebid en vir Here gevra sy iets op sy hart en toe, toe voel ek net, hy sê ek moet bietjie gaan lees net oor julle dorp en sien waar dit vandaan kom. En om, soos Barend sê, van julle weet die geskiedenis van Malmesbury en dit is wat ek gevind het. Maar om lank terug te gaan, so 1652, Jan van Riebeeck het in die Kaap gearriveer en so 3 jaar later het hy toe verkenningstog hier, is 'n groot Afrikaanse woord, verkenningstog hier opgestuur en toe kom hulle op Malmesbury af. En wat hulle toe hier gevind het is 'n warmwaterbron en wat mense daai tyd ook geglo het genesing bring en vir enige kwale in daai tyd. En soos die tyd aangegaan het, so 100 jaar later is die kerk toegestig, so in 1745. En wat ek toe net verstommend gevind het oor die warmwaterbron, dit lyk in die geskiedenis of die bron so bietjie ontwikkel was en toe hulle weer niks gedoen nie, geboue weer afgebreek en niks met die bron gedoen nie. En uiteindelik wat ek toe nou kon vind is dat die bron sentrum toe nou oor die plek gebou is waar die warmwaterbron was. En wat ek ook sien is ons nog 'n bron agter in die Loos winkel weggesteek wat 'n wêrelderfenis gebied is. En nog so 2 van die putte wat hulle net meer ornamenteel opgebou het in parkeerareas eintlik. En die ding wat ek eintlik vir julle voel is, die Here het altyd Malmesbury gesien as 'n plek waar mense kan kom om genesing te vind. En maar oor die tyd het mense gekom en met hulle eie idees en met hulle eie strukture gekom en geboue gebou oor dit wat die Here eintlik bedoel het om genesing te bring. En die Here wil weer kom en selfs net in die worship kon ons voel net hoe die Here eintlik 'n fontein, nuwe fonteine oopmaak in Malmesbury en veral vir Josh Jane. Dat die Here 'n nuwe fontein oopmaak. Die ding is ook met hierdie bronne, dit is nie baie groot bronne gewees van wat ek kan aflei nie, want as 'n groot bron was, sou jy nie net 'n sentrum oor hom gebou het en van hom vergeet het nie. Maar dit is klein bronne en ons het so 3 jaar terug het ons op 'n erf, het ons 'n huis gekoop in Melkbos en daar was 'n put, net hierdie 12 meter diep en dit het in die grond ingaan. En die put het nie baie water gelewer nie. En ek dink, ek wil nog besproeiing insit en in hom gebruik, maar ek dink die water is net nie genoeg nie. En ek, 'n nuwe put probeer sing, het nie gewerk nie. En toe het ek in geloof gegaan en ek het 'n pomp opgesit en tank en besproeiing ingesit. En soos wat ek al hoe meer en meer die put begin gebruik het, het die put al hoe meer water begin lewer. En waar ek nou op 'n stadium is wat dit Hy kan die hele tuin se water voorsien, pomp deur die dag in hom in, die volgende oggend kan ek besproei en hy voorsien alles wat ek nodig het. En net vir julle, selfs so hierdie pitte wat nie genoeg water gelewer het nie, dis asof die Here se genade net daar is om te sê, ek gaan net nie op julle forceer nie, maar hier is 'n waterbron wat ek vir julle gaan gee, en dan soos julle dit gaan begin werk, gaan hierdie bron al hoe meer water begin lewer, en al hoe meer water, en het gaan in, Mamesbury begin inloop. En net om, ek kyk dus om na die geografie ook van Mamesbury, en ek sien toe die diep rivier begin ook hier in Mamesbury. En ek dink toe ek, maar ek het al van die diep rivier gehoor, en ek kyk toe en ek sien, maar dis die rivier wat reg afloop, onder deur die N7, en uiteindelik in Rietvlei en in die see inloop. En wat ek te veel gevoel het, soos wat julle al hoe meer begin trek uit die put uit, gaan die water so baie begin word, dat het uiteindelik gaan terugvloei in die Kaap in, en ons gaan hoor van die dinge wat die Here doen, en dit wat daar uitkom, gaan selfs dit wat in die Kaap gebeur begin opbou, en hulle gaan begin lewe bring in die Kaap ook. Dis wat ek vir julle gevoel het.
Amen, let's go home. Okay. Okay, so ek moet bieg, ek dink as dit die regte Afrikaans woord is. Ek is eintlik Afrikaans. Ek het Afrikaans groot geword. Ek het na Afrikaanse hoërskool toe gegaan, Jan van Riebeeck Hoërskool in die Kaap. En toe daarna het ek 'n jaar van my lewe gedoen in Lighthouse Christian Center, the Lighthouse, where the gathering is going to be. Okay? Then I switched to English. My brain thinks in English. I found one of three English girls in Oudtshoorn. I married her because I was like, that's different than Oats, you know. So, no, I'm just joking. So please, if you afterwards, I'm very happy to speak Afrikaans. I do speak it with a very strong English accent for some reason. I totally shifted in my brain, so sorry about that. But I do, Afrikaans is my roots. I actually lived for 2 or 3 years on a farm between here and Mom in Mariesburg. And I used to drive this road every single day. So often when I drive, when we go up that way, I say to my kids, that's where I used to live. You know, you do that as a parent. So. But just picking up on what Steph has said, I honestly believe that something of the Lord wants to do in the Spirit is, again, for Malmesbury to be that place where there's a well, you know, that where there's life, where there's rivers. And if you look at what the scriptures actually said, that's something that's happened even in Bible days. Do you know that Isaac had to reopen the wells that Abraham dug back in the, if you go read Genesis, I think it's 26, you can go read it on your own. But you can see where Isaac had to go back into the land that God said to him, this is yours. And the Philistines were actually very jealous of Abraham. And what they did is they filled up all the wells. And Isaac had to go reopen the wells. And just as he was saying, I was remembering that story. And I think even for you guys here, you might have to reopen wells in the Spirit that God has got for you. But it's not going to be easy. You know? Who do you know when you say, Jesus, I want to follow you? Is it going to be easy? It's going to be... You know, we've got this mentality sometimes of a gospel that's comfortable, easy, but it's not. Jesus says, come and lay down your life. Follow me. Be part of what I'm wanting to do. And I think for me, that is one thing for you guys in Malmesbury is to ask the Lord, what are the wells that we need to reopen again? And I'll share it with you, Andre, as well. But I think that's really a word of just what God wants to do. So, but I want us to turn to the first scripture, just in light of what Steph was sharing and what Jess was sharing in the Lord. Like, she didn't know I was going to preach on living waters. And I think, you know, often we do realize that when the Lord moves, there's something that He wants to deposit in us today. And I honestly believe there's something that the Lord wants to shift in our minds in this little town. And I can sense it. Can I be honest with you guys? Well, I have to be. I'm sort of a Christian, so I've got to be honest. I can feel the weight, man. I can feel I don't even know what to call it, but it's like this thing that I'm sensing in the spirit of just like, don't say that. Don't do that. You know? And often, like, if you come from a different town into something, you know that frog in throw a frog in hot water, what happens? He jumps out. But if you put him in nice cold water and you slowly heat up, what happens? He starts digging that. He's like, this is like a spa. This is amazing. Until 5 minutes later, he's dead and he's boiled. And I don't know who's going to eat that frog, but maybe the Chinese will. But you know what I mean? That's the so it's often when you're living in a place, you actually don't realize what happens within the spiritual atmosphere. And for me this morning, I'm sensing just something of Lord wanting to break out. So it might not look the same. Malkbos guys knows me. I sort of like do this in my preach. But I want to say stick with me because I feel God wants to deposit something in your hearts today of just what he wants to do. So in light of that scripture, that the two sort of words that came this morning, I want to put up, can we put up Jeremiah 2, verse 13? So Jeremiah, we all know the prophet Jeremiah, and we all know, you know, he came in a time where Jeremiah actually forsake, not Jeremiah, the Israelites forsake the Lord, and they walked away from him, and God actually sent Jeremiah to Israel to go prophesy what the word of the Lord. And you look at the whole book of Jeremiah, he went through so many things. And then it says this in verse 13, God speaks to Jeremiah, and he says, my people have committed two sins. Firstly, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water. Incredible that God says that already in the Old Testament, eh? The spring of living water, they've forsaken me. And they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Those are the things the Lord had against Israel. And you know, Israel in the Old Testament, we know it's a picture of the church. It's somewhere we look back. It's a foreshadow of things that are coming. And I believe, like even in today, in church today, we can have that. We can walk away from God, or we can build our own cisterns, broken, that actually can't carry the life of God. So we, as Christians, we've got to go, Lord, I want to find living water. I want to find you. I want to find that truly refreshes. And just like what Steph shared, there was a brunn, a well of living water, of pure, undefiled water here. And it's so interesting that it's a shopping center over a well. Because what are the things of this world today that draw us away, especially with our Western mindset? Interesting, eh? It's just a picture. So don't go break down the mall on Monday. So if you've got a shop in the mall, I pray that you'll have good wealth there. But it's the two things that I think the Lord has always says. It says, like, we forsake him. And I've learned in my life, there was times that I've walked away from God. I loved him dearly. And to be honest, like that, what Jess said, drinking of the bitter water. You know that I drank bitter water in church once? I got so hurt. I remember walking away from church one day, full time, paid, employed. I was a youth pastor. Eventually, I became a missions pastor. Not that I think you can become a missions pastor now, but even a youth pastor, you know. But that was in that system. Broken cistern. And I remember standing in front of the church one day. I said, God, I love you, but I want nothing to do with your church. And I walked out. I got so hurt in church. And can I be honest with you? Most of those hurts was because there was stuff in me that wasn't right. But we can drink bitter water sometimes, but God says, come, drink living water. It doesn't mean if we drink bitter water that we walk away from him, that we stay with him. And honestly, I did walk away from the Lord. I totally backslid. I started selling insurance policies. That's not a bad thing. And I remember the Lord waking me up one day and saying, if you carry on with this, you will die. And I remember coming back to him. And that's the thing, like, don't forsake the Lord because he's the living water. But today, in today's world, what are we living in today? The Bible actually tells us what it looks like today. And I quickly want us to have a look at the Timothy. 1 Timothy 3 verse 5. It says, and I want you to quickly realize this. This is a scripture. This is Paul writing to Timothy. And he's not writing to the unsaved. He's writing to the church here. So this is for us. When you read this, Paul is writing as if he goes, hey, church in Malmesbury, you Andre, here's a little letter. Understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. So who's experienced time of difficulty? It's a really relative kind of term, because our difficulties and someone else's difficulty can look different and completely. But what he was saying is, in the church, there's going to come times of difficulty. And what does he mean by that? This is what he means. Verse 2. For people will be lovers of self. Okay, so I want to stop there. Like, what is the most, if you go onto Facebook, Instagram, all of those things, what do you see the most of? Selfie. People's self. That's what the whole world is around. My opinion. How do I look? So I've got two teenage daughters. I'm not going to embarrass them by using all the new slang like slay and all those kind of things, you know, so they cringe whenever I go there. Otherwise, they're going to crash out, and that's going to be bad. If you don't know what that means, get into the Gen... What's a Gen Z? What are you? Gen Z. Gen Z vocabulary is way out there. It's like, woo, what was that, you know? But people love themselves, man. It's all about me. It's all about what I can... And remember, this is in the church. So just quickly, here, what does the Bible teach? It says, we lay down our lives for one another. I think of others more highly than what I think of myself. I consider you more than what I consider myself. So what does that look like? How do I practically do that? And there's a whole bunch of things that go. So I'm not going to preach on this. Then it goes, lovers of money. That's what the world is about today, especially in our Western mindset. What is the thing that you think of the most? If you just really sit down, what is the thing that you think of, consider, wonder about the most? I often say to our congregation, I say, I know your priorities if I can look at your bank account and if I can look at your calendar. Those two things will tell me your priorities, you know? But it is, like, we've got to fight that in us. Lovers of money, that thing can creep in so quickly. And then it goes on, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. That disobedient to parents actually translates also to disobedient against, well, it's basically talking against authorities, people in authority. That's what that talks about. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous. Treacherous is like you betray someone. You put on like a false image, like a friend here, but behind you stab someone in the back. That's what treacherous is. Reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure, rather lovers of God. Does that sound like the church? It shouldn't, okay? But remember, the two things that Israel did, they forsake the Lord, and they're making man-made systems. And we're going to tie this together now. And then it goes on. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And the Bible says, avoid such people. Because it's easy to look godly, hey? It's easy to say the right thing, to behave the right way in front of people. People look at, you know, so I grew up in the Dutch Reformed Church. I'll be honest, that's what it was about, man. Jy wil goed lyk vir die dominee. Ek onthou as die dominee by die huis aangekom het, yes, ek moes nog nooit so stil gesit het in my lewe soos as die dominee kom, nee. And I can't even understand hoekom nie. Okay, so I'm not against the Dutch Reformed Church. I've got friends in the Dutch Reformed Church. I love them. I believe there's people that are saved in the Dutch, even spirit-filled. But there's a way, there's a system that they've put in place there that looks godly, but there's no power. So for us here, do we have power here? Do we see the Holy Spirit move here? Do we see the Holy Spirit move in our lives and in the lives of others? And I'm not talking about a Sunday. Sunday is one thing. I'm not talking about a Wednesday. Monday to Saturday, plus then a Sunday. Do we see the Holy Spirit? Do we see the power of God? Do we see God move in our lives? Or do we just have an appearance? of godliness. Okay, I better hurry up. Don't know why I'm... You know that Jeremiah, that same Jeremiah that says, that said in verse 13 there, that said, two evils, and we made man-made cistern. So a cistern, just in Afrikaans, is a tank. That's what a cistern is. I actually looked at a photo. I should have actually given it to you guys. But if you look at like what Steph is saying, a well, and what the Bible speaks about, it actually goes at least 12 meters down into the ground. It taps into the natural water that God has given us. But a cistern or a tank is something that the guys have built under the ground sometimes, and it creates, it's like a limestone. They used to use limestone, but that used to crack and the water used to flow out because they were catching, yes, rainwater, but it's trying to keep and contain the things that God has actually given us. And Jeremiah, in Jeremiah, you can go read it in verse 36, I think it is, 38, Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah brought a word. Obviously, he's been bringing all these words against Israel. You know what they did to him? They threw him in the cistern. They threw him into that same thing that they're going to. Sometimes what we can do with the word of God as it comes, we can throw it into the cistern and into the thing that we actually made and try and make it form and fit into our thinking and to what we want. Have you struggled with that? Does that make sense what I just said? As I felt like I'm coming, like that thing. We can actually take the word of God. God comes with something and we can try and fit it into our thinking. What's comfortable for us, what's easy for us. And actually, if you go read in Timothy, Paul writes later and he says, watch out, because in end times or in the last days, people will even gather people, preachers, to tell them what the itchy ears wants to hear. And that's what we do. We take the word of God and we try and fit it into, oh, this is nice. Yo, have you heard of the prosperity gospel? I'm not going to go in all those different gospels, but that's what happens. Okay, so firstly, we make these things, and it's man-made. And I just want to quickly break down, you know, what are cisterns, what they do. Firstly, it's man-made, and it requires human effort. That's the first thing. It's not of God. And you know, if you go at the opposite of that is that we look at the origin. Where does things originate from? Fountains come from God. He made it. And that's the thing in our spiritual life. Find the fountain of God. Find the river, the living water that God has wanted to pour out into our lives. Am I losing you guys? Not. Okay, following me. Okay. Secondly, if we make something, it's limited capacity. Those living waters of the fountains, like Steph said, once you start using it, what happens? It starts to continuously come and flow. And that's what it is. But if it's man-made and we try and contain it, it's either going to crack and break, or even worse, it becomes stale. Who's walked past water that's become stale and dead? And it stinks, you know? And the thing is for us, when you walk in here, so this morning when I walked in, I actually, you know when you, I don't know, somehow, sometimes the Lord does this with me, I smell fragrances. It's weird. But I smelt when I walked here today, you know when rain falls and you can smell the rain? It's like, that's what I smelt. I smelt rain. I smelt fresh, living water. And I was like, God, like, come, can you pour out, let it rain even more, but let that living water flow. And don't catch what God wants to do and try and contain it. Say, God, let it flow. And I'm going to come to scriptures now that Jesus even speaks about that. Because you know what we're wanting to do? Just like the disciples, we find a moment in God, and what do we want to do? We want to say, ooh, let's camp here. This feels good. This feels lacquer. And what have we done straight away? We've made a system. We've made a program. We've made a system that we're trying to fit God's word into and not let the Holy Spirit flow. Because I used that scripture earlier. What is the Holy Spirit? How do we follow him? How do we follow the Holy Spirit? It's difficult, eh? I'll be honest with you guys. The last couple of months, the last couple of weeks in Melkbos, I'll tell you a quick story. So we prepared this whole thing about as we got the gathering coming. We've been seeing so much life in Melkbos. We've been seeing salvations and people coming to the Lord. Actually, Terrence and Angelus, don't you guys want to quickly stand there? These are two young men that got saved, what, about 6 months ago? About 6 months ago, they got saved. They moved down from Joburg thinking they're just coming for work. The Lord arrested them. They got radically saved. And now it's like incredible to see what God's doing in their lives. Thanks, guys. And they are absolute blessing for us. They part of. We've got Joshua and his family here that also just got saved. You guys. And I didn't even know they were going to be here. So the Holy Spirit said to me one day, I've got a lady in our congregation. She said, please, can you meet with my husband? I want to divorce him. I'm like, what did I say to this guy? You know, like, so I'm like, yeah, cool. Give me his number. I'll see if he wants to meet. So I phone him. As I phone him, he says, yeah, I'll meet with you. So I'm like, okay. I say, let's meet at O'Meal. You know, that O'Meal, if you're going, you know. So about a day before I meet him, I realize, or someone tells me, you know that he's one of the main taxi bosses in Atlantis. I'm like, really? So I'm like, okay, I'm still going to meet though. So I sit down there and I'm praying in tongues. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. He comes up like just sunglasses on, hat, rolls up, and he just sits in front and he's just like, my wife said, I must come meet with you. So I'm like, yo, hey, what's your name? Start talking. His name's Rowan. And I honestly, if I think back what I said, I can't remember what I said. But you know, that's the thing where you flow with the Holy Spirit. And eventually, after like sitting there for an hour speaking to him, he didn't take off his sunglasses once. I just start seeing the tears run behind his sunglasses, just tears rolling down his face. As I just shared the gospel with him, I said, Jesus loves you, bro. Jesus got a plan and a life and a purpose for you. And he just starts weeping in O'Meal with all these other people. I've got a taxi boss climbing out of his chair, falling onto his knees, saying, can you please pray for me? I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm like, yes. I'm standing there. I just closed my eyes. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I pray for. And I'm just watching all these people. But that's life. That's the Holy Spirit. That's that fresh living water. Another story of just got this young guy. He's a surfer. His dad committed suicide. He was living with his dad in one of the flats there by us. I think it's 2 or 3 years ago, his dad, he walks into his dad's room and his dad's hanging there. His dad's dead, committed suicide. And this young little kid, my wife actually gave him, was his Kitchener's teacher when he was, five? He was young. He's now 28. And he walks in on his dad, tries to resuscitate. His dad just dies. And he's into drugs, into so much stuff. Ivan, another elder with us, him and I were surfing, and we're sitting in the water. So I want to say God can use you wherever you are. We're sitting in the water, and Ivan and myself just start talking to him, and he just breaks down. He's like, I'm coming to church. That Sunday, I'm like, he's not coming to church. He goes to another church where my brother-in-law, the Baptist church in Melkbos, which we work very closely to, and he gives his heart to the Lord that Sunday. Like 2 days later, he gets baptized. We baptize him because he realizes he wants to be part of Josh Jen. And he's just like, there's life in not the other church. We're really good friends with them, but they're just different to us, you know. And he comes. And now today, he's actually caused his other friend, who is a complete drug addict, to turn to the Lord. So Tristan is in our community. He's there. So the reason why I'm telling you all these stories is, God's busy working. There's life. There's things flowing here. And I'm on my way preaching about what we call abiding in Jesus. So we're wanting to bring in new members into us. And we're saying, like, we want to do, let's abide. You contribute. You belong. And we're sitting, and there's a marathon in Melkbos that Sunday morning. So I'm like, oh, I'm like rushing. And as we get to the stop street where the police station is, we get stopped. and there's just people running, and they're not letting us go through. Eventually, my family got out because they were on kids' church, and I think doing coffee and pancakes and stuff. So I said, you guys walk. I'm just going to sit and wait, and then I'll meet you there. As I'm sitting there, the Lord says to me, I want you to stop. Now, God, what do you mean stop? Like, I am stopped. I've stopped. He says, look at the world. They're running. The world is running. But I want you to pause, and I want you to find me and not just run the way the world runs. It's like, Lord, what do you mean? So I'm prepared. I'm coming to church. I walk into, I'm like sitting there. Now I'm just like going, okay, I don't even want these people to stop running because I need to find God. The Lord said to me, you can have another normal service. You can have another normal Sunday. You can have your announcements. You can have your, so again, this is for us in Melkbos. Don't, you guys did really well. Follow the Lord. Or you can trust me and risk with me. I said, God, what, how do I do that? So, because everything inside of me wants to look good. He said, can you build me a house? And can you build something, not to attract people, but can you build something to attract my presence? It's like, oh, what does that look like, Lord? Because that's two different things, eh? We can put lights, mirrors, action, whatever, you know, if it's in Malmesbury, I don't know what the, you know, if it's like we can bribe every, whatever, we can think of like, sorry, I'm also, but you know what I mean? We could do things to attract people. Or we can do things that will attract God. And when God is there, there's living water, there's life. We experience it. What will happen? People will come because people in this world is thirsty. They want to see the real. So I said, okay, Lord. And you can ask those that have been in our congregation for the last 6 weeks. Every single Sunday we say this. We do not know what the service is going to look like. So buckle up. Here we go. And it's been different every Sunday. Not because we want to do something different. Not because we want to be different. But the Holy Spirit is building his church in Melbourne. So even coming here, I was like, Lord, what do I share? God said to me, take what you've got. And this is it. We found the living water. We found the Holy Spirit. So I want to look quickly, very quickly. How long have I been going? Sorry. I'm going to jump all those things out. But the two things, that man-made systems or things that we try and do, we bring that into the church. Jesus even said, by your traditions, you have nullified the word of God. And so we think as Josh Jen, we look at like, oh, there's the in here or the new apostolic or the this. They guys have got traditions. Whoa, 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 whoa. By our traditions, have we nullified the word of God? So even in your own life, by your traditions, what are your traditions in your own life? What are the things that you are doing? So does it break open the word of God or does it nullify the word of God? What is the things in your life that you've got to change? Because that, you, the Bible says, you are a spring of living water. I'm going to look at that now. But you can actually block it. You can actually kill it. You can actually nullify God in your own life. And then others can't drink from your well. So all of a sudden, remember last week, Jock preaching on, each one's got a part to play. Am I right? I did ask him. I wasn't very prophetic there. I literally phoned him. But I just thought of this now. You know what your part to play is? Find living water. Find the Spirit. Find the Holy Spirit. And then go, God, what do you want me to do? It might be coffee. It might be tea. You might be thinking, looking at this going, what do we do here to bring the Holy Spirit? When it's worship, do you come? Do you? Because just by doing that, you are living water. You are a fountain. When you meet with people, that's what happens. That's your part to play. It's not just backing up chairs and AV, well done, Justin, eh? Such a good oak. But you know what I mean? You've got a part to play, but it's living water that flows through. So very quickly, Isaiah 55, Jesus says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk. That sounds very nice. Without money and without price. So what Jesus is saying is, come. You don't have to. Like we often think, I want to get my life in order. And even if you've been in church for a while, you think, okay, let me just sort this out, and then I'm going to start serving. Or let me do this, and then I'm going to. No, just come. Come and drink. Come and eat. Come and feast on what God is going. You're a son and a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the incredible thing. John 4, you quickly put that up for me. John 4, verse 13, 14, it says, Jesus said to her, so this is the story of the woman at the well. We all know the story of the woman at the well, hey? Does anybody not know that story? Jesus coming to the Samaritan woman, he is so thirsty, and he says to her, can you give me a, and she goes like, bro, you're a Jew. I shouldn't be giving you anything. And then he says, oh, you're absolutely right. But then Jesus goes on and he says this to her. And this is what Jesus, I feel, is saying to us today. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. He's obviously speaking of, that's the well of Jacob where she pulled out. And if you go read it, the story of the well of Jacob, it's incredible. Go read it. I can't remember where it is now. Someone might find it and then we can tell you. But there's a history there that the Samaritans drank from that well, realizing that Jacob opened up that well. And Jesus said, well, if you're going to drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. I've just been drinking out of my tank, this morning. I'm thirsty again, but that's natural. We thirst again. But this is what Jesus says in verse 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. So I've been walking with the Lord now for probably close to 35 years. Yeah. And can I tell you, there's been times that I've been thirsty, that I've had to come again and drink. But I want to say in the last while, man, I've been loving God. And just there's been a thirst, like the Spirit of God is taking us. And even as elders, we're going, there's life. There's things that God is busy doing in us that we're not thirsty for that. But we're thirsty for the things of God. We want to see him break out in everybody's life. And Jesus goes on and he says, the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Remember earlier I said, who's the wells? You're a well. Jesus just said it. But to become a well, what do you need to do? Drink of Jesus. John 6, verse 35, Jesus says, and in John 6, if you read just before that, this was actually very controversial. I think about more than half of Jesus' disciples left him after this teaching that he did, because it was too hard. He basically said to them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have any part of me. That was pretty hard teaching. But then here he goes on, and Jesus said to them that he is the bread of life. And whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So I want to say, like, for us, we have to believe that. We have to become the living water. Because if we're the living water, if we go out, people start drinking from us. But it's by the Holy Spirit. And then this, John 7, I'm throwing out a lot of scriptures, but I'm just building towards, you'll see now. It says this, John 7, verse 37 to 39. On the last day of the feast, this was the feast of, actually completely forgot what feast it was. I'll have to go look. You go read John 7, it'll tell you what feast, but it was an important feast. Jesus stood up and he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, just like that previous scripture where Jesus said, if you believe, you shall never thirst, but whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. As yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. How does the rivers flow in our lives? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And what do we read in Acts 1? When the Holy Spirit fell down, they received power to do what they needed to do. Remember the Timothy scripture I used? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And that's the thing. If we walk in the Spirit, full of the Spirit, full of living water, the power of God in us, when we go out here, it's not about a Wednesday or just a Wednesday and a Sunday. It's actually in our workplace, with our kids, with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, that the Holy Spirit can flow. And he might in a moment say to you, go do this. Go meet a taxi boss and lead them to Jesus. Or when you're surfing, or when you're riding bike, or when you're at school, whatever it is that you do, do people see that there's a well in you, a living water, that you're different? And they go, I want that, what you've got. That's how we do it. The power of God through our lives. God is looking for a church. And I just love what Wally started out. Lord, come build your church. God is looking for a church where he dwells and where we don't just do our things, what we think is best. Even as elders, as deacons, as leaders, where we go, God, it's not ours. Because as soon as we try and put a structure around it or a program or anything, we're just creating dead pools of water that crack and leak out. But I want to say it's for each one of you that if you become a living water, you become a fountain, that you add to what God is busy doing in this place. Amen? So I want to end off with a portion of scripture that it's in Ephesians. It's actually a prayer. It's a prayer that that Paul did. And this prayer is about the Holy Spirit filling us up. You know, in Ephesians 5, it says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a continuous filling up. It's not just the once-off standing and someone prays and now you're filled with the Spirit. It's actually daily. My daily prayer is, Holy Spirit, come fill me, come fill our family, that we can walk in what you want us to walk. Come lead us, come guide us. What do you want us to do today, Lord? Because our lives belong to you. But this portion, I wanna pray over us, and that we can, as we go from this place, realize that we are those fountains of living water. Okay. But before that, can we close our eyes quickly? So I just want to, as we in this place, and the Lord has been here the whole morning, you know, I think from worship even, there's a sense of God is here. It's that rain, that fragrance, the living water. God is here. And maybe this morning, you know, like I said, it's not by chance that you're here. It's not per toeval that you're here volgend nie. And ek voel net, I just got a sense this morning that as you've been listening, God has been just doing something in your heart. Just going, hey man, I'm not like that, Lord. I don't have that living water. Firstly, because I might not even know if I fully belong to you. Like I threw out that, you know, we've been saying that we are children of God. And there's, what does that look like? But you sitting here and going, I don't even know if my life is right with the Lord at the moment. And I want to say, God loves you, man. God loves you with a never-ending, unstoppable love. He has purposed for you to be here today. It's not by chance. And he's just saying, he's calling you out today and saying, I've got purposes and plans and a destiny for your life. And yes, you've been trying to live your life a certain way and you've been trying to do good and trying to find what life, the meaning of life and all of this is. But actually, that scripture that I started off, it's like maybe even a forsaking of the things of God or even God himself. Maybe you were like me one day where I said, like, God, I want nothing to do with church. And you might even say, God, well, I don't even know if you exist really. I want to say God is alive. And you know that because we were born, made, every single one of us, that inside we go, there's a yearning to the living God. And maybe this morning you here, and it might be your first time, or you might have done this in the past, but you're realizing you need to come back to God as that first step of saying, Lord, I want to come back to you. I don't want to forsake you. I want you back in my life. And you know God is busy knocking on the heart of your door because your heart is pounding in your body. And your palms are like sweaty, and you know, like the Holy Spirit is saying, that's you. He loves you. Jesus died on a cross more than 2,000 years ago for your sin. And not just your sin, everything. For shame. For things that have been done against you. For things that where the enemy has come and tried to steal, kill, and destroy. But the blood of Jesus was shed for you that you can stand again reconciled with the God of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And this morning, God is calling you and he's saying, come, come. I've got a plan for your life. God's not into manipulating anybody, but you know that you know that you know deep down inside that you don't know him. That personal relationship, knowing him as a dad. And don't think about maybe your own father, because even good earthly dads got nothing compared to God, our Father. And I want to say this morning, if that's you, and it's not to embarrass you, and every eye is closed, people are praying, but I want to encourage you just to respond to God and say, Lord, that is me this morning. I've realized I've walked away from you. I've tried to make all these things in my life, these cisterns or these ways that I've tried to just find life and find, and I'm failing. But Lord, this morning, I want to come to you, God, and I want to say, can you come and save my life? Can you come and take away the things of this world that has crept into my heart, sin, unforgiveness, all these things? Would you come and take it away today, God? Come wash me by the blood of Jesus. And that sounds crazy if you think about it, but that's in the spiritual realm, that's what happens. We are body and a soul and a spirit, and your spirit is dead until Jesus comes and breathes life in it. So while every eye is closed, I'm going to ask in a moment just for you to raise your hand just so that I can see it. And the Bible actually says that if we acknowledge God in front of man, he acknowledges us. Jesus acknowledges us in front of his Father. So it's not to embarrass you, but you know what? For thousands of years, people have done that, stood up, raising their hands as a sign of surrender and saying, God, I no longer live for me, but I now want to live for you. I realize that I need you more than ever. And this morning, God, I want to give you my life. I want to say, come, Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my life. If that's you, don't you want to quickly slip up your hand that I can just see it? Thank you for those hands. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. It's amazing. It's beautiful. You know that heaven stops in moments like this, and the angels rejoice in heaven, and they like actually go crazy. And I want to say God is busy arresting people's hearts here. Can I be honest? This is why we're here. This is what Jesus has called us to do. I don't want to embarrass you, but you know what? God is here this morning, and God will stop everything for one person. So I want to ask, is there anybody else that just saying, please, this morning, I want to commit my life to Jesus? Okay. Can I ask those that did raise your hand, again, I'm saying we don't want to, it's not, can I be honest? Who cares what people think about us in this moment? Because this is a thing between you and God. But you know what God does? He knows that we cannot